listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I Evan.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you fly in from Birmingham, you'll get the last gate. If you flew in from Boston, no, you sure won't have to wait. And I'm learning a little more every day about the power of the dollar and the people with white collars and the good old American way. I've noticed I don't get much help when they see my blue jeans. Some click where the suit walks up, oh, can I help you please? Yes, I'm learning as I gain a little age about the power of the dollar and the people with white collars and the good old American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, something happened tonight that really shook everybody up. It scared the two girls, really frightened them, and resulted in a revelation. And by revelation, folks, I mean revelation. There was an admission of some really crooked, illegal, unlawful politics, and an actual crime that went on in this town. And so I'm going to let Pooh start off and tell her story. Now, first, you have to understand that I never tell my children what to say. I never, ever plant ideas in their head. I teach them to be honest and truthful. And so, here's Pooh's story, straight from her mouth, with no coaching or nobody put anything in her mouth whatsoever. You're going to hear exactly what happened. Go ahead, Pooh.
Okay, well, it started off when me and Crusher and Allison went outside, and I let him off the leash to go run, and we started walking along, and about
when we were around the end, well, we were coming back a little. Well, actually, first, wait. When we came out of the door, me and Allison and Crusher, we were coming along, and Crusher started getting all these sticks and running back home and stuff. And I kept on telling him, come on, Crusher, we got to go take a walk. And so Allison came, and then Crusher started to come.
You know, I have to stop you and ask you a question. Who's Crusher?
Oh.
You're assuming that everybody knows who he is.
Well, Crusher's our dog. It's everybody's dog over here in our house, and he likes to play, and he likes to do all kinds of stuff, you know, play rough, and he likes to get bones and chew them, and he also likes to go in me and Allison's room, and or whatever he can find, he can just get it and try to tear it up.
And what kind of a dog is he?
A Rottweiler.
And what is he trained for?
To attack people that's not in the family, and when they try to start, you know, they don't know what, like, if Crusher doesn't know who somebody is, like if he doesn't know a truck or something, he'll go over there and start to bark and run off and go chase it and stuff.
But not to chase the truck. I mean, what is his job?
Well, he's trained to attack people.
For why? Why is he trained to attack people?
Well, because...
And what people is he trained to attack?
People that's not in our family. You know, people that he doesn't know.
In order to protect the members of the family?
Yeah.
And especially who?
Me and Ollie.
That's right. Okay, go ahead with your story.
Okay, anyway, so we started off to walk, and Crusher started to play with a big rock. He loves rocks, you know. Especially
big rocks.
Yeah. And so after he played with the rock, we were starting off to the end. And then when we got to the end, we stayed for a little bit, and then we came back. We were walking back. And then, well, about halfway when me and Allison and Crusher were walking, Crusher was, you know, way in front of me. And so me and Allison were in the back. We were trying to catch up with him. And then all of a sudden I heard this noise, like a car coming up the hill. I thought it was just down the hill. And then I heard it coming closer. And so I ran, and then Crusher started looking over by the hill, you know, where the truck come up. And then, finally when the truck came up, Crusher started running, and I couldn't catch him that time because he was too fast. And I started running as fast as I could. And the truck, it was going to the end, and it turned around. It just went to the end and turned around by the circle and came back. And then Crusher chased him wherever the truck went. And then the truck stopped. There was a guy in there, and his windows were down, and I said, "Roll up your windows. This dog is a trained attack dog," and that's all I said. And then I started to get Crusher because he was on the other side, and then I went to the other side as fast as I could, but he wasn't there. He was on the other side, and then I got him on the leash finally, and then I'm all mixed up here. I'm missing something. When the truck started to come up, Allison saw the truck, and I saw the truck too, and I told Allison, run home. Go tell Mommy and Daddy that somebody's here. And then Allison ran home, and she did what I said.
Allison, what happened?
Jumped.
Talk there. Talk into the microphone. Tell what happened.
Me and Pooh go for a walk.
And then what happened?
And Greta got up there and then took him up. Then I ran back home.
And you told me what? What did you tell me?
Tell me Puppy and Mommy got tucked there.
Yeah. thank you. You did a very good job. Alton's only three, and she understands our position here. And so she ran home on her two little feet as fast as she could. And I heard yelling and screaming, so I had opened the front door and was on my way out into the front yard when she told me that there was a truck and Crusher was off the leash. And so I told Allison to go into the house, and then I saw Pooh trying her very best to catch Crusher. And this guy in the pickup didn't have the sense to stay still so that she could really get him. He was kept moving, even though he knew that she was trying to catch the dog. And eventually she did and get the leash on the dog, and then she was able to control the dog. Because once she gets the leash on the dog will obey her unconditionally. But if he's off the leash and he believes that these children are threatened, he will do anything to prevent them from being hurt. So then what happened next, Pooh?
Well, I got him on the leash, and I looked back to make sure that Allison was going home, just in case she turned around and she wouldn't tell Mommy and Daddy, and just in case, that way she wouldn't, you know, the guy wouldn't come out and try to go get Allison or me. And so I looked back and she was running home.
Daddy, I gotta watch my movie.
You gotta watch your movie? Okay, you go watch your movie, honey. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Anyway, I got, where was I?
Thank you, Allison.
I know where I was. Wait, I don't know where I was.
You were walking back with Crusher after you saw that Allison had run home and done her job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then I got Crusher, and I took him back home, and I started running, and I took him back home as fast as I could. Before I got home, my heart was beating as fast, you know, maybe as fast as I was running, but I don't think it was. And I was breathing so fast, I almost couldn't breathe. I was out of breath. And then I felt like I had blood in my mouth.
And were you afraid?
Yeah, I was afraid that Crusher was going to bite someone.
And you did a wonderful job. I have to tell you that most little children wouldn't have had the presence of mind to be as responsible as you were. And I thank you for that. And I think it's just absolutely wonderful.
You're welcome.
Okay, you can run along with your sister. I just wanted everybody to hear what brought the rest of what happened on.
Oh.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Okay, I got it. You can jump down now. And so, folks, as you can see, the children were terrified. And they were terrified for a couple of reasons. Not just the fact that someone came up the mountain who may have been bitten by Crusher. You see, the dog is trained to protect any member of the family, but especially the children. And they had let him off the leash so he could run. He's a big dog, and he needs exercise. And Pooh managed to regain control of the dog. They were afraid because of the situation that we are in, that we never know who it is that's coming up the mountain. And whoever it is, if they're just an innocent person, could be hurt because of the situation we're in. For instance, if they come in or up the mountain anywhere around our home, when the federal government decides to come and try to kill us, they will also be killed, because that is the pattern that the federal government has established. Whoever's here is going to be killed, and we do not want anyone to be hurt simply because they were here. We don't want that to happen. We don't ever want anything like that to happen. We don't know who these people are. They may be a member of one of the alphabet agencies. They might be a member of the Internal Revenue Service, of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Just coming up pretending to be enjoying the view. And so we always go out and ask, you know, who they are, what they're doing, and why they're here. We have a right to do that regardless of what anybody says under the Neighborhood Watch Program. The Neighborhood Watch Program, which is endorsed by the city we live in and by the state of Arizona. We have a right to ask anyone who does not have an obvious reason for being up here, why they are here, who they are, and what they are doing. We have the right to do that. It's called the Neighborhood Watch Program. And we are members of the Neighborhood Watch, our neighborhood. We're the only ones up here. We're the only neighborhood. We've also contacted many of the property owners who own property up here, and we have learned from them that they don't want anybody walking on, driving on, tearing up, digging up on their property, or dumping on their property. All the property up here is private property, and there is no trespassing. Whenever someone comes up, we always go down and approach them very, very politely. We ask them who they are. We ask them next if they own property up here. If they do, which lot they own, and what they're doing. If they say they're looking at property, we ask them if they have a card from a recognized realtor in the area. Because that's the only place that they ever learn about property for sale where we're living. Because even if it was advertised, they couldn't find it in a million years unless they went to a realtor who gave them a map. And legitimate shoppers for property will have a map and a card from a legitimate realtor in the area. And if that's what they're doing, we help them out. We help them find a lot. We answer all their questions about the weather and the road and all, you know, whatever they want to ask us about, we answer the questions honestly. And we tell them we love living up here. Love it. We have never discouraged anyone from buying property up here whatsoever. If they don't own property up here, if they're not up here looking for a piece of property to purchase, and if they were not sent by a recognized real estate agent in the area, then we tell them that all the property is private property. There's no trespassing. And we ask them to leave. Very politely. We have never threatened anybody or anything else. When young people come up, like teenagers, and they used to come up all the time, and we used to let them, because we weren't in any problem. And they used to go down at the end of the road and neck. That was the Blueberry Hill of Eager, Arizona. When this problem manifested, we began to tell the children, the teenagers, not to come up here anymore, because we don't want them to get caught up here if the federal government ever decides to come after us and get killed. Simple as that. And so we've succeeded in running most of them off, and they don't come up here anymore, except occasionally. And when they do, we let them know that this is not where they belong. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what happened today, right after this, and listen carefully, because this will give you some indication of what it was all about.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is
prices up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folk can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folk can survive. Because you can't stop a bout and you can't make a front. Because when the old boys say don't got guns, we say praise and we say man. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a bus, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folk can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine.
Folks, it wasn't too long ago when we first realized that there was a problem here, and the federal government was going to try to make our lives miserable, either kill us or imprison us, that we put out feelers in the community to attempt to meet with the mayor of the city, the mayor of the city of Eager. We wanted to meet with her in order to give her the legal documentation that establishes the fact that we are right and correct in the law, and it's the federal government who are the outlaws. We sent copies of all this material to the Department of Public Safety in the area. That is the Highway Patrol, where most of you live. To the police chief of the city of Eager and the city of Springerville, and to many other people and organizations and news media and newspapers all around here. Many of these people took the information, researched it, and discovered that we were correct and are correct. But two things happened then. The city council of Eager met and decided that we are lawbreakers. Without studying the law, without even reading any of the material that we had that establishes our foundation in the law, the city council of the city of Eager decided that we're criminals. And the police chief of the city of Eager, Arizona, did the same thing. Even though we had given him a complete brief that proves without any shadow of a doubt whatsoever, according to Supreme Court rulings, that we are correct in the law. And he could not refute, and neither could the city council refute, any of the points in law which we had presented to them. The police chief of the city of Eager, Chief Garms, and the members of the city council advised the mayor not to meet with us. Well, the police chief is the son-in-law of the mayor, and she was threatened by the police chief and her daughter that if she came up and met with us, it would be a choice between us and her family. In other words, she was blackmailed. The city council did the same thing. You go meet with Mr. Cooper, and we will not support any more of your programs. This is exactly what happened. So the mayor, being gutless, absolutely, totally and completely gutless, refused to come and meet with us. And so that's where that stood. What does that have to do with what happened today? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the person who came up in his pickup today turned out to be a member of the city council. His name is Udall. Udall. Now, let me tell you something about the state of Arizona and the state of Utah. You cannot walk 1,000 yards in the state of Arizona or the state of Utah without bumping in to a member of the Udall family, some of whom are famous, are great patriots, have done wonderful, fantastic things for this country. And all of the Udall family that I have ever come in contact with or met have been just the most wonderful people that you could ever hope to meet. And some of them have become very dear and very close friends of this family. But this particular member of the Udall family, who serves on the city council of Eager, Arizona, is a crook. He's a criminal. And this is one of the people who called us criminals and asked the mayor not to come and visit with us, or else they would not support her programs. I find this absolutely incredible in light of what happened while this member of the city council was up here on this mountain. You see, when Allison came running back, and before she came running back, I had heard screams, the children screaming. I love my children. When I hear my children screaming, my hand is on my pistol and I'm out the door immediately because of the threat that the federal government might attempt to kidnap them. I saw Allison running. She was screaming that somebody was coming up, that there was a truck on the hill and Crusher was loose. And then I saw Allison trying to chase the dog who was trying to get at a man in a pickup, doing his job, exactly what he's supposed to do. And so I got in my pickup and I sped down to the other end of the road and I intercepted this person. And by then, Pooh already had Crusher on the leash and was taking him back to the house. When Crusher is on the leash, he obeys unquestioning, whoever is holding the leash, who is also a member of this family. If he's off the leash, he does what he's trained to do. He protects whoever he has been assigned to protect without question, and he will not be deviated from his goal. And he has been trained to protect this family against any stranger, no matter who it is. So when I sped down and I saw that Pooh had the dog under control and was headed back toward the house, I intercepted the pickup, pulled alongside, and I asked the person inside, I said, "What are you doing up here?" He said, "Well, I have some property up here, and I was just up here to make sure that they paved the road okay." Well, that was fine with me. I had no problem with that. So I asked him, I said, "Would you mind in future calling me first before you come up so that I can make sure the dog's under control, because I don't want anybody to get hurt?" It's exactly what I told him, folks. He looked at me and he said, "I know who you are and I don't have to call you. This is a public road and I own property up here and I'll come up here anytime I want." And then he said, "I'm on the city council." I said, "So what?" He said, "Well, I own property up here and we've been having problems selling the property." Well, that's not news to me. Anybody who owns property up here, while there's an infamous or famous or renowned or our villain, whatever you want to call me, up here, who lives up here, whom at any time could be attacked by the federal government in all their might, just like they attacked the Branch Davidians, it's going to be hard to sell property up here. And I told him that. I said, you know who I am? And he said, yes. I said, you know our situation. I said, you know you're not going to sell any property up here until this whole thing is settled. And he says, well, he says, we think we can sell the property. We just had to get the road paved. I said, what do you mean, get the road paved? I tried for 5 years to get this road paved. We live up here, and we were going up and down this hill in mud and snow and ice on the worst road that you could possibly imagine. And we tried for 5 years to get the city to live up to its commitment to maintain this road, and the city refused, absolutely refused. He said, oh, and listen to this carefully, folks. He admitted he was a crook right to my face, and he had no shame about admitting it whatsoever. He said to me, we need to sell these two lots, and he pointed right there, the two lots closest to the fork in the road at the top of the hill. So we needed to sell these two lots, and so I had the city council pave the roads because nobody was going to buy these lots until the road was paved. That infuriated me. I became furious. You see, I was wondering why all of a sudden after 5 years the city came up to pave this road. We're the only ones who live up here. It costs a lot of money to do it. In fact, I was getting ready to sue the city because the lack of maintenance on the road had caused us to lose a lot of our property. Where the non-existent proper drainage has eroded away quite a bit of the lower portion of our property. But even telling the city that had never put a dent in their resolve not to pave the road. But here was a member of the city council who belongs to a very famous political family who told me to my face that the reason that the road had been resurfaced was that so he could sell two lots up here on this mountain. It made me sick. You see, we were glad to see the road resurfaced. It makes our lives much easier. But ladies and gentlemen, if the road was resurfaced so that this man could sell some property, I prefer that it not be surfaced ever. I would prefer to come up and down in the mud and in the snow and in the ice and never have it resurfaced. Because what is happening in Washington, D.C. is a direct reflection upon what City Councilman Udall has done right here with this road, and he's not the only one. And I'm not going to forget about it, nor am I going to let it rest. I told him to his face, I said, you're an a-hole. And the city councilmen are a-holes. And you go back and you tell them that I said that. And I meant every single word of it. That's exactly what they are. Not only that, they are real criminals. He is a real criminal. And they had the audacity to tell the mayor not to come up here and meet with us when we laid out exactly what our stance is in the law and we're correct and called us criminals. I am very upset about this, ladies and gentlemen. He also showed no understanding of our predicament, didn't care. He didn't care about the terror he put my daughters through, and they were terrorized. He didn't care that he might have been attacked or killed by our dog. And all I did was very pleasantly and politely ask him, if he could just please call the next time before he comes up, if he owned the property up here, it would be fine with us for him to come up. No problem. Just please call so that we can make sure that the children and the dog are not placed in any kind of danger and that he's not placed in any kind of danger. And he told me that he didn't have to call. He can come up here anytime he wants to and do anything he wants to because he's a city councilman and he owns property up here. And I asked him, I said, just exactly what pieces of property do you own? And he pointed to the two pieces of property on the downhill side from the road near the fork in the road at the top of the hill. And then all of a sudden, I knew he was a liar. He lied to me. That was not his property. I know exactly whose property that is. I know who those parcels of land belong to, and they do not belong to him. So he lied to me. He lied to me. I looked him right square in the eye and I said, you make me sick. You all make me sick. Get out of here right now. And he did, and that was the end of it. He thinks. But that is not the end of it. I am going to write an extensive piece for the Round Valley paper, and I know Glenn will publish it. If Glenn doesn't publish it, I will print up thousands of copies myself and make sure that they are delivered to every door in this valley. He told me to my face that this road was resurfaced with the dollars of the people, the hard-earned dollars of the people who live in this valley, so that he could sell some property. And then he lied to me about which property was his. In the process, he terrorized my children. He took a chance on getting attacked by our dog. And he knew our situation and our defensive stance a long, long time ago. And he's one of the city council members who advised the mayor not to come and meet with us because we're just a bunch of criminals. Well, Mr. Udall, I'm going to remove you, along with the good citizens of this valley, from your seat on the city council. Not only that, I'm going to make sure that we find out which roads are being resurfaced and who owns property near those roads. And if we find out that there are any criminal violations, we are going to insist that you are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the real law. You see, you just don't seem to understand something. If I'm not afraid of the tremendous machine of the federal government, what in hell would ever even begin to convince you that I'm afraid of you? And how stupid can you be to admit your crime to me, right to my face?
Big city crime in every little town. There's people making money off Jesus, and taxes dragging everybody down. There's politicians kind of stretching the truth, and farmers are getting pulled up by the roots, and butchers telling little kids I'm the only way. Welcome to the USA today. It's younger generation's really shining, much brighter than they've ever shined before. We've got the right to vote our leaders in. Yeah, we've got the right to vote them out again. And we're all free to speak our mind and not get locked away. Welcome to the USA Today. It's true, we've got our problems. Lord knows we make mistakes. And every time we solve one, can others take its place? But you won't.
Right. Welcome to the USA Today. What's wrong in Washington, D.C. is a direct reflection upon what Mr. Udall is doing here in the Round Valley of Arizona. It's what's happening in every city and town across this country. How in the world can you have honesty? Can you have morals? Can you have ethics? Can you have truth in government on a national level when you don't have it on a local level? And when you all turn your eyes away from it and pretend that it doesn't exist. This is the same city council, that stopped a prominent member of this community, good member of this community, from giving a place to the homeless to live on his own property in a travel trailer that he had in his own property, rent free, just to help some of the homeless get off the streets. This is the same city council that prevented him from doing it, that evicted the homeless from that travel trailer. And they did it because of zoning laws, because, as they said, stated clearly in the city council meeting, that if they allowed Glenn Jacobs to help out the homeless by giving them a place to live in a travel trailer on his property, rent-free, until they could get back on their feet, their property values would go down. Now, we have a problem here. And if there's nobody else in this valley that has the guts to deal with it, I do. If there was any way in the world, ladies and gentlemen, upon learning the real reason why our roads were resurfaced up here on this hill, I would take the surface up, I would give it back, I would redeposit the money back into the city treasury where it belongs. It makes me sick now to know that our roads have been resurfaced so that Mr. Udall can make some money. And Mr. Udall is a member of the city council who determines which roads are resurfaced and when they are resurfaced. You're in trouble, Mr. Udall. You're in big trouble, whether you know it or not. And your family name is not going to get you out of this trouble. There's going to be a big investigation about this. I'm going to call for a recall vote for all the members of the city council. And I'm going to promote it. And I'm going to call for it. And I'm going to disclose every dirty little crooked thing that the city council has ever done in Eager, Arizona on this radio station. And I'm going to call for the good citizens of Eager, Arizona to clean up their government. And if they won't do it, then I will contact the State Bureau of Investigation and I will call in some real investigators to do it for them. you messed with the wrong person. You really messed with the wrong person. And the way you messed with me is by disclosing to me that over 5 years of trying to get these roads resurfaced, we were denied. We live up here. We're the only reason that these roads should ever be resurfaced whatsoever, and we pay all of our lawful taxes, including property taxes, to the state of Arizona that pays for roads to be resurfaced. We're the only reason for these roads to be resurfaced, but when Sal came up here and told me he was going to do it, I knew that we were not the reason. I just could not figure out why, and I expressed that feeling to everybody, including your brother. And then, Mr. City Councilman, you dog, you came up here today and told me the reason. You told me to the reason with no shame, no hesitation, to my face, that the reason this road was resurfaced was that so that you could sell some property. That is a criminal act. It's a criminal act, Mr. Udall. And you're going to pay for it. You, Mr. Udall, are going to pay for it. The phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. I hope somebody from the Round Valley has the guts to call tonight. I don't know if they will or not. 520-333-4578. I have a feeling that most of them won't, because Mr. Udall belongs to a prominent church in this valley, which appears to control just about everything that there is, and discriminates blatantly against people who do not belong to that church, despite the fact that they should have learned their lesson in the 1800s that you should not do that, based upon their own experience of being discriminated against. Good evening. You're on the air.
My name is John David. I'm a newcomer in Springerville. And, Bill, I think what you are doing is outstanding. Outstanding. I support you 100%. And I will make myself available to you at any time to deliver any messages anywhere in Springerville, or eager to bring this to everyone's attention.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. If you'd call this number tomorrow and leave, don't say it on the air, but if you'd call this number tomorrow and leave your name, address, and phone number, we'll certainly take you up on that.
I will do that.
And we really appreciate your help, and I also appreciate your guts.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Well, there we go. Off to a good start. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Gary calling. You know this this Udall guy you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
In 1966, I graduated from high school. My high school teacher worked in the White House. She was a page.
Yeah.
And she said, she told the class, she was my government teacher when I was a senior. She said, these people that's in the White House are not who you think they are. She said, pay attention to what is going on around you. Notice things that's going around you locally, you know. Well, anyhow, she pounded it in my head that at that time, we had some cabinet members named Abraham Ripakoff.
Uh-huh.
Remember that jerk? Okay, we had Sturt Udall. Would this guy be any relation to Sturt Udall?
I don't know, but knowing the name in the area, probably is.
Well, he was from there, from your state, and he also, I'm pretty sure he was from your state, Arizona, and he was one of the cabinet members at that time,
uh-huh.
President Johnson, and he, people think we have hooligans in there now. We had them back there at that time. I think we had the big hooligans in there.
Well, that's when it started, was back then. President Roosevelt began the destruction of the nation and the socialization of the United States of America, according to the Marxist, Marx and Engels Communist Manifesto. And Harry Truman took it and ran with it, and it's been ongoing ever since. Now, I know that Sturt Udall did an awful lot of good things for this country just because he was a cabinet member at that time. doesn't mean that he was a bad person. Well, and just because Mr. Udall on the city council of Eager, Arizona is a crooked politician doesn't mean that the whole Udall family is a bad family. I happen to know a lot of the members of the Udall family, and they are the most wonderful people that you would ever want to meet, and some of the most honest people that I've ever met.
Well, at that time, though, during the Vietnam War, about as soon as I got out of high school, I was drafted, and about 5 months later, I was in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about corruption over there, our military. You know, here I am in training, said, I want to go to Vietnam. I want to kill the Viet Cong. I thought, how sick are these people? Before I know it, I'm over there.
Yep, well, I was in the same predicament in the United States Navy, but I volunteered to go over there because I was dumber and more stupid than anybody that you can imagine. I actually thought we were fighting to protect the Constitution and for freedom.
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't volunteer to go over there, but when I got over there and saw what was going on, I thought, what a bunch of sick people.
That's exactly what I thought when I got over there and began to open my eyes and see the reality.
Well, it's like me now. I enjoy hunting, I enjoy fishing, but anymore, I don't fish much anymore, I don't hunt much anymore, but I do shoot my rifles a lot.
Good for
you. Good rifles.
Good for you. Let's let somebody else try and get in here because it's only an hour program.
Hey, Bill,
yeah.
I wanted to let you know about this Hal guy they murdered over here in Taft, California.
Yeah.
They ruled everything justifiable shooting.
I know we're on top of it. We got the goods.
He's completely quiet about it now.
We got the goods on them. That's because they control the media. That's the only reason.
People, yeah, but they're not letting a whisper out about anything.
I know. Well, we know what happened. We've got the truth about it. I got to let you go.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. 520-333-4578 is the number. Let's hear from some more people in the Round Valley if you got the guts to call. Most of you, I know, don't. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
This is Jeffrey Dyke calling from New Orleans. I'm finally able to get to you after all the years.
Well, hi, Jeffrey. I missed you.
I know. I didn't know where you were till a couple of weeks ago. One of your shortwave competitors told me about WBCQ, and I finally picked you up, although around this time of night, after 8:30 Central Time, the signal begins to get weak.
Yeah. Well, you got to make your point real quick because we're out of time.
I'll make it very quickly. The same problem you're having in Shola, we're having in New Orleans, all over the place.
Jeffrey, this is not Shola.
It's Eager, Arizona.
Eager.
The same principle down here with our planning and zoning laws.
Well, I just want to make sure that everybody knows we're not talking about Shola. I have never lived in Shola. I'm not saying anything bad about the city council in Shola.
Right, I know that. Okay. I know that. But that's how long I've been since I've been hearing your program. But the point is that we have the same problems here in New Orleans with the planning and zoning laws, whether it's preservation or modernization or everything else, including an attempt to pass a new tax, which would have some city-owned property on which commercial property has been built, while others are going to have to pay millions of dollars to the city under the gun. And the tax has not been approved yet. It's coming up for votes December the 5th.
Uh-huh.
So we've got the same problems down here. I just finished losing a senatorial campaign with the Libertarian Party down here. But I did what I could as far as going to almost every event was concerned and explaining the whole situation as far as how the government's destroying our lives is concerned. But there are too many people in this state who want government to run them, and there are too many people. And when you run into that kind of a problem, it's tough.
Yeah, it is. Thanks a lot, Jeffrey.
All right. We'll keep up the work.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, that's it, folks. Good night. And Mr. Udall, City Council, Eager, Arizona, I'm not done with you. And neither are the citizens in this valley. And God bless each and every single one of you.
People, I think it's time we stop this running around. This world is going too fast and we'd like to slow it down. Don't let them talk you into doing what you don't want to. Just learn to say no and learn how to refuse. Cause you don't owe nobody nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't
inside a fortress. By the way, folks, the property that Mr. Udall pointed to that did not belong to him belongs to his mother and father.
You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when to reach. And I am not just talking, cause I practice what I preach. Maybe you don't do all the things you're supposed to. Your boss gives you a job you hate, but you smile, that's the rule. You see yourself playing the game and it's rubbing you wrong. Oh, you don't know how much more you'll take, how long can it go on? Well, you don't know nobody, nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it if it ain't going smooth. The one person that you just never try to fool is you. You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when to reach. And I am not just talking, I practice what I preach. No, I am not just talking, cause I practice what I preach.